Sagt die Mischne. Okay, so we learned about in the last parak, the last sugya was about the Haroma Sadejan. So really there were the ashes on the Mizbeach went through two shlavim. One shlav is called Haroma Sadejan, and that's a bona fide avoida. Every day that you would take some of the ashes from the Mizbeach, separate it, Haroma, like Loshon Truma. And that was what was discussed in the last sugya. And then there was really Hoitzoas HaDeshen. Right? And that was really done, taking the Deshen, besides taking the Deshen out of the Beis HaMikdash completely, but taking the rest of the ashes off the Mizbeach. And our Mishnah deals with that part. And that's a very unclear avodah. Some hold it's not an avodah at all. It's nothing more than practicality. You can't let it just accumulate, you know, without a shear. You have to get rid of it. Some hold that it was taken out every day. We'll see from the Rambam, it's mashmah, wasn't even taken out every day. The ashes that was piled up on the Mizbeach. The Ravid also was taken out every day. But that's what our parak is dealing with. The chelik of this Mishnah L'chol Pachas is dealing with that. And then there was the Siddur HaMarocha, which is preparing for the next day's Marocha, putting up the woods and the fires that were needed. So the Mishnah starts by saying, Ra'u Echav Sheyorad. So when it says Ra'u Echav Sheyorad, it means the Kohanim saw the one that did the Haroma Sadesh. Once that Avoid was incomplete, was completed, so now we're ready for the next step of Avoid. So that's what the Mishnah says. Ra'u Echav Sheyorad, Heim Rotzim Ubaim. And here it says, Miyaru V'kitchu Yudayim V'ragleim Enakiyo. When he went up was alone, but then after he finished up and he came down, then already they saw him come down. So now heim rotzim uboim, and miyaru v'kitchu yudeyem v'ragleyem in akil. They ran to wash their hands in the akil. So now again, question: why they needed to wash their hands in the akil? Bechlal, right? Who says this was an avoida even? What they were about to do, who says it was even an avoida? So Rashi in Zvachim Daf Chof, Rashi says that they washed their hands from the kiyor in order to do this, what they were doing now. So according to Rashi, it seems that taking the ashes, even after the Haroma Sadesh, is still an avoida, and that's why it needed Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglai. The Rambam in Pirush Mishnayos, the Rambam says that you need Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim, he says, because you can't go to that part of the Beis HaMikdash, Kreivul Mizbeach, even without Avodah, needs Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. This area where the Kohanim are going is off limits without Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So the Rambam is mashma that it wasn't an Avodah. In other words, this was a new reason why they needed Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. Really more of a din mitzad de gavra than mitzad de cheftza. I'm going now to the Bein Ulam Mizbeach, I'm going to the Mizbeach. I can't go to this location without doing Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim. So this lends itself to the next machloikis, l'chayre.
Where did Rambam get it from?
Where did Rambam get what?
That the Mayim can't go to the Mizbeach.
From the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Begishtam El HaMizbeach. When they begishtam El HaMizbeach, V'rochatzu Yudayim. So the Rambam learns, Gishel HaMizbeach requires Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim because the Kedushas HaMokam. Forgetting the Ma'is HaVoidah, the Kedushas HaMokam requires it. The Rashi would obviously learn that begishtam El HaMizbeach is only if it's L'shores. If you're not doing HaVoidah, there's no din of... But it's really a catch-22 because you're not allowed to go Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach Shel Tzarech HaVoidah. So it's once you're going there, we have to call it some kind of tzarech avodah l'chol hapachas. All I'm saying is the Rambam goes out of his way to say that you need kiddush regalim because of the location. And Rashi in Zvachim Daf Chof says it was l'tzorach avoida. So it seems to be a machlekes. Now, if you keep on reading, it says like this. It says, Nogulos and Magrefaces, Hatzinoris, these were the kalim they used, the forks and the pipes, in order to move around the ashes and the Evorim, V'ol Rosh HaMizbeach. Okay, now. Evorim V'abdorim, Shalein Sachlu Miberev, the Evorim from the day before that weren't consumed. So, the Soinkim Oysam Al Sidi HaMizbeach, they would put it to the side of the Mizbeach. The Im, and if the Tzadim are not Machzik, right? Soidrim Oysam Besivu V'alakevesh. In other words, if it was too much, it may not start the machzikim, then Soidrim Oysam Besivu V'agabi HaKevesh. Now, this also sounds strange, like the Mishnah is giving you advice, you know. If there's no room here, put it, and if there's no room there, put it on the floor. And what's the Mishnah? So here the Rishonim explain that it would become possible Belina. These Evorim, these limbs that didn't get consumed, would be possible Belina because they were ready from the night before and they become possible Belina. The only way you don't become possible Belina is because Ein Lina B'Rosh HaMizbeach. We hold that while something is on the Mizbeach, there's no din of Lina. So this they had to keep the Evorim on either the top of the Mizbeach or the top half of the Mizbeach. So the top of the Soiviv, the protrusion of the Mizbeach, which was the halfway mark, the top of that is already the upper half of the Mizbeach. And the Mele, there's no Psalina. That's really what the Mishnah is telling. Now, then it's Mashma from the Mishnah. Hechelu Malam Ba'ofal Gavtapuch, they piled up the Ofal, the rest of the ashes on this tapuch, this mound. Tapuch oisa b'emtza mizbech. So the Rambam comes by us the Rambam comes by us and he says that this tapuch was made through gathering the ashes. There was such a mound of ashes on the mizbech because that's the tapuch according to the Rambam. This is the Rambam by Yassim Perak Beis and Tamidim Musafa. The Ravid comes and he says, Tapuach was part of the Mizbeach. He says, there was no mound of ashes on the Mizbeach. There was a Tapuach that was built into the Mizbeach. There was a center of the Mizbeach that was called the Tapuach. Nothing to do with the ashes. They put the ashes by the Tapuach. The Tapuach is the center of the Mizbeach. So he explains exactly. He says, "Varei kivon shoyu mitzien as offer kol yoyim lohayisham tapuach." He says, therefore, he says it was a tavla merubas kivoya amo. There was a protrusion on top of the mizbeach, the center, and that was actually the tapuach. V'olo yumalim es adesha. On that they would put the desha. So the Ravid argues with the Rambam. He says, "Mashmoyis hamishnas that there's something called a tapuach." Tapuach HaMizbeach, number one. And then he says, Harei Mitzina Sa'or for Kol Yom. There was no Tapuach there, he says. They took the ashes out every day. Even if there's some ashes left, there was no, what's the pile there from? Again, they could make it into a pile, but where's the pile now? There's no pile. They took away the pile from yesterday, the day before, right? So where's there a pile now? Again, a mound. We'll call a pile. A mound. We're not talking about accumulation of ashes. According to the Rambam, a tapuach is like a shape. There's a mound on the mizbeach. The Ravid is saying a simple question. Besides that, he holds the Mishnah's mashma that there was something called a tapuach on the mizbeach. He says, "Where's the mound? Where did it come from? Yesterday's mound, they took off. So where's the mound today? You could create a new one today, but after you create the new one, you have to take it off. So." Dr. Ravid, I don't know, I don't get where the Rambam got the tapuach. I don't know, Dr. Ravid. So if you look here in the Rambam, the Radvaz, the Chamishna, they try to answer the Rambam. The Radvaz says, a big Kiddush. He says, Lefi shitas Rabbeinu loyhoyu mitzien es kulo yalochelik mimeno. Bishvil shalo yafriya lesidur amarochas. He says, the Radvaz says, that, and this is also mashman deri karkas. Marikarkus al-Rambam. That according to the Rambam, they didn't take out the ashes every day. So there was haram aside the Esha. The rest of the ashes that were on the Mizbeach, there was no mitzvah to remove it at all. There was a mound, and it kept on growing, and they only took some of it away to be able to make the marocha, push it for management, space management. They made the marocha, so they had to limit this mound of ashes. But according the way the Marikurkus is learning, in a Rambam, there was a mound on the Mizbeach of ashes that was really never totally removed. It makes a lot of sense now why, according to the Rambam, if you hold as a chiyuv to take the ashes out every day, so it's an avoida. Just like Aromas Hadeshen was a chiyuv every day. So there's another avoida, taking off the ashes in the Mizbeach. Had to be done every day. That makes sense, that would be Rashi Shita like the Ravid. And that's why you needed Kiddush Yadayim V'Raglayim to take the ashes off. Because that's an avoida. Mashen came, according to the way Rikarkus is explaining the Rambam, you're just making room, and if you don't need room, you could leave it there. So Mamela, therefore, the washing of the kiyuv, according to the Rambam, wasn't because of the avoida, it was because where you're going. Because you can't call avoida she'ef shalavatla. It's not an avoida. It's not an avoida b'chlal. There's no, that would be according to the Shita Zaramba. And the main way, according to that would be the Havon. If that's the case, according to the Rambam, so you have to know why there was b'chlal a mitzvah to even make a tapurach. Why did they have to take the ashes of the day and gather it up? If you hold this a mitzvah, then to remove it. So it makes sense. So here, this is a big Shiloh, what's pshat in that? Because clearly our Mishnah is saying that they did this every day. Why? Why'd they do it? What was the chiyuv to do it? So I'll tell you, I think there's a simple chiyuv. Haromas Hadeshen is similar to truma. Just like there's a din truma, let's say, when you have grain to be mafresh truma. Until you mafresh truma, everything is tevel. Because you have to, it's pre-haroma state. So you have to think about the Mizbeach. Mizbeach also had tevel. The ashes on the Mizbeach are tevel. Because the mitzvah of Aromas Hadeshen. Right? The mitzvah of Aromas Hadeshen. One of the reasons why there was no me'ilah on the ashes of the Mizbeach after they did Aromas, Nasas Mitzvah. Right? Nasas Mitzvah. The mitzvah is done already. So that means you have the ashes. You take off from the ashes. So then you take it from a tevel state to a chulin state. Okay? Now, what's the halacha by truma? You can't be mafresh min aptur al achiv. So therefore, there had to be a mound where it's visible, the ashes that already, the aromas hadeshen was done to them, and the new ashes. Otherwise, you can't do aromas hadeshen. So what I'm trying to tell you is that even according to the Rambam, though, that they won't have to take out the deshen every day. But to differentiate between the deshen that's chayiv and aram, the deshen's potem, that you had to do every day. And that itself would be a machayiv of creating a tapuch. That alone would be a mokum to the machayiv. By the way, this could also be another raya to the Rambam. Because l'chayiv, if you hold that there's a chayiv to take out the deshen every day, so why is there no me'ilah after Aromas Hadesh? It shouldn't be called Masas Mitzvah. There's still another mitzvah that has to be done. Taking the deshen out. But we say no. Once you do Aromas Hadesh, and that is no more me'ilah. Because Masas Mitzvah. That would be another kind of raya to the Rambam. That would be another raya to the Rambam. Because of this, I always held that even according to the Raivad, it's also Masas Mitzvah. It's just a practical machlokes. The Ravid learns that the Taka took the ashes out every day. And the Rambam learns they didn't. But it's very hard to say that according to the Ravid, there was a chiyuv to remove it every day. Because if there was, then why is it called Masas Mitzvah? So we'll see. We'll get back to this. But I'm just saying, Bashkof Rishon is the way it should be. Says the Mishnah. Oh. Because once you did Haromah, now the other ashes of yesterday could mix with Today's ashes that you did halachah from. You never had more than one pile of ashes. You had one pile of the post halachah ashes. And that could accumulate. That's the whole idea. That could accumulate. Could grow bigger and bigger. The Mishnah says, Palmim Hayol of Shloish Meir is Kor. Sometimes it had 300 Kor on it. Ubrugolim Hayol Medashnim. They wouldn't take it out at all. Neishu Noilim is Beach. It's noy for the Mizbeach that it should be seen how much Korbanos were brought. Now again, according to the Rambam, it's very Gishmak. Because A, there's no obligation. See, if there's an obligation to take the Deshen out every day, how could on the Regolim they decided it's nice? Okay, so it's nice. But you have a Chiv to take it out. According to the Rambam, it's very Gishmak. They only took it out of practicality. In the Regolim, it was Noilu Mizbeach. That's what I'm trying to say, that even according to the Ravid, it's hard to say that there was a Chiv Gomer to take out the Deshen every day. It's hard to learn like that because then the whole Hemshech HaMishnah. Okay. It's a mashmah like that in the Mishnah. Okay. Hey, Chelum Island Begizim. So they brought up the wood on the Mizbeach. L'sada Marocha. To make the Marocha, the fire for this day, V'chikolaitzim K'shem L'Marocha. Are all the woods kosher? Yes. Kolaitzim K'shem L'Marocha, Chutzmi, Shal Gefen V'shal Zayin. The only thing you weren't allowed to use was vines or olive wood. And that we'll see in the Gemara. What did they use? They used these woods. They used this oil. This was a wood that they used to make oil from it itself, not an olive wood. Or egos or tannin. These burned better. So if you look in the Gemara on Amud Beis, if you turn to Amud Beis, the Gemara explains, if you look down on Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Hani by the Sugi V'chikola Eitzim K'sher. So the Gemara says over there, the Gemara analyzes why Taka they couldn't use Gefanim. The Gemara says that they were Mahani my time aloy, Rav Papa Omer Mishum the Ketiri. Because they have knots, they create smoke. According to Rav Acha Bar Yankov, it had nothing to do with the Mizbeach. They didn't want to use vines or olive trees because it would take away from Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael needs fruit. So the Gemara obviously is going to ask them, why should any fruit tree be kosher? That's the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara says, Meisrei ala eitzim ashala eitzim atuchim liyaseish. Tafka wood that burns well, my new duki shvir, there's a young tree, the loy katiri v'ozli, that don't have knots. Mikta mitoichai, lamaisa, they could have inner knots are also a problem. V'chikola eitzim k'shem l'marocha, kola eitzim k'shem l'marocha, chutz misin zayis v'gefen, avu beli regilim, avu b'sholteina, egez v'loi tshaman. Rav Lezer Moisev, av sholmaya, sholelim, v'sholdeko, sholchor, v'shol shikm. So the Gemara asks if the bishloim, if you hold, that they didn't use olive and grapes because they don't burn well. So then it makes sense. The Mishnah says, L'chatchila, you should use these trees because they burn even better. But if you learn Al Tzishu Al Tzisrael, so all fruit trees should be considered posel. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says it should be in your baltashkes. You're not allowed to cut down a fruit tree without a purpose. It's Rav Chaim's kasha. So if you hold all trees are kosher, should be also to use fruit trees. Nothing to do with Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Bishleima, if you have to use fruit trees, okay, so then it's not baltashkes. But if you hold that all trees are kosher, which is what the Mishnah says, kol ha'etzim k'shem l'mizbeach, so then there should be an issur to use fruit trees out baltashkes. That's Reb Chaim's kasha. But the Mishnah says, if you hold, the Gemara says, if it's Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, Dekel Milas be Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. A Dekel also says Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Why'd they use palm trees? Amalachol, a time echtein, a less be Mishum Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What about a date tree? Fig tree? Also as Yesh Bo Mishmet. Elamayis Lachamei Matein Aleviri Peri Tekalnami Lekovit Peri. Fine. So you basically, the conclusion of the Gemara is that they use trees that don't make fruit. And the palm trees that they used and the fig trees that they used, they were not fruit bearing. The Gemara explains how they did it. It was a process. Mi katein lo yavidi peni im kederachba maisi teini chiyute v'shayfi le bechavlo d'tzav. So they used to bring these white palm trees and they would sand it down, and then the sorek ma'alyo bazre and the zera, the seeds would come out the kavli land. They would use those seeds. Heichi the masik yom asilton. They would put it near the water, and then this would grow only non-fruit bearing trees. Okay, that's the conclusion of the Gemara. But you see, from the Gemara and Meikar Hadin, they were allowed to use fruit trees for the Maroch, and that's what Chaim's kasha that lechayim should be also to use. Baltashkes is an issa deraisa. So Reb Chaim is bothered. How could as the Gemara conclusion says that the minig was they used fruit trees that don't bear fruit. So at the end, it's not a problem. But the Gemara is just saying that's what they did because to get rid of the problem of taking away from Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Well, it's gonna better wood. Reb Chaim is asking a bomb kasha. Taking down a fruit tree is an issa deraisa. It's not an issa derabbanan. Bal tashchis tam is a shayla if it's deraisa. Some hold Bal tashchis is not deraisa. Right? Stam throwing out a good thing. Some hold it's not issa deraisa. But a fruit tree is zicha deraisa. Zicha deraisa. Elamai, if there's a mitzvah bedavka to use the fruit tree, fine. So there's no Bal tashchis. But if kol ha'etzim ksheirim l'marocha, you could use cedar tree, you could use any tree you want. How could the Mishnah say all trees are kosher? Then he goes on to discuss, not only should you be Issa deraisa to use it, it should be posel to the Mizbeach al Tzmashkeli Yisrael. But then he, Reb Chaim says that's not a Mashkeli Yisrael. If you put something on Mizbeach that's also, it does, it's not. He says that's only if it's Issa Aguf. Something on Issa on the thing. A fruit tree, not on a Kotel, but there's no Issa on the fruit itself. But the bottom line is that Reb Chaim's Kash is a Gvaldik Kash. The Mishnah Terech Kedei Dibur says, Kol Ha'etzim Ksherim, could use any wood, and then it says that they were not to use the fruit trees, and then the Gemara says, and the Gemara only made the dichui according to one of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So I was thinking perhaps you could say a posha pshat just to answer Reb Chaim before we get back to the kachim part here. To answer Reb Chaim's kasha, you could say it's like this: really, the whole inyan about tashchis by a tree is a big shaila. What the gedder of the Bal Tashchis is. What's the gedder of Bal Tashchis? The Gemara says in Bava Kama that if it's Me'ula Bedomim, if there's a value by taking the tree down, then you're allowed to take the tree down. That's the Gemara says in Bava Kama. So the Achronim have a whole shayla how to learn. What does that mean? Does that mean there's value to the tree? L'moshel, you want to make an oak, expensive oak furniture. So the tree standing is worth $50. But the tree cut could be worth $20,000. So you're increasing the value of the wood. That's how some learn. Some learn Mu'ula Bedamim, and some learn Mu'ula Bedamim means no. There's more value in the location without the tree. It's a big nafkamini, you want to make an addition to your house. Could you take down a fruit tree? So now you're increasing your home. The value of the home is zicha more than the value of that tree. Right? But the tree clearly is just going to be dumped. The tree doesn't have any value being cut down. So if you learn, and it goes in both directions. It goes in both directions, meaning it comes out of chumra and a kula. Because if you hold that me'ula bedamim means it's worth more for you, right? It's worth more for you not to have the tree there. Okay. If that's the pshat, so you have the kula is that if you're making an addition, you taka could cut it down. Make the addition. Because for you it's worth more, the tree shouldn't be there. Right? But, let's say you want to take down the tree taka to make furniture. So it's possible, but Chiyai Gavna, you wouldn't be allowed to take the tree down. Because the hashchasa of the tree is not giving you value. So really, the two ways of learning the Gemara, it's not like one way is a cooler. It's two different ways. One way to learn is that we look at the tree. What's best? What's the best way to draw value from the tree? Have it standing or have it taken down? The other way is, no, you look at the overall. Meaning you can't look at the value of the tree. The value of the tree, the Torah says you should keep it there. Don't make cheshbonis about making furniture. But if the whole mokum is being obstructed by the tree, then Yitaka could take it down. Says mamish mina kotz al kotz. Many of the achronim make the yukim from the shita mukubetzas the above a kam and achoyvel the rosh. Different ways to understand. So I want to say perhaps asugi is a shtikul raya. If you learn that the meula bedomim is the value of the tree itself, okay, so then we can easily say that a tree that's being used for atzei marocha, intrinsically, that's the best use you could use it for. See, even though you have an option out yourself to use other trees, it's true. And even if they're both the same, but there's b'chlal no bal tashchis, because since this tree is being used for something which for itself, intrinsically, is the most premier use it could be used for, so b'chlal there's no bal tashchis. So that would be the mashmoyes of our mission. So then you have to know, does that introduce a problem with taking down trees for additions? That's why I personally, I'm not quick to give a heter to take a fruit tree down. Just to make an addition. There's other tanoim, but just that alone, because from here is more mashmah, let's look at the value of the mokum. We look at the intrinsic benefit of the tree. And if you learn, there's intrinsic benefit of the tree, there's obviously no shayla baltashas. That's what I said. There's other eitzes. Sometimes it's very expensive. If you have a 100-foot walnut tree, try to reap. Sometimes you can't even do it. It's not possible. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes there's some people give a term, they give a dollar to the, you know, the landscaper gives you a dolly, but there's all kinds of kunsim. Right, but if the Issa Bal Tashas is not to use this tree, not to degrade this tree, so as long as this tree is getting a premier use, there's no Bal Tashas. So this vine, does it have any better use intrinsically than to be used for the Maroch and the Mizbech?
I understand
that. The answer is no, so it's not Bal Tashas. Okay, Zok the Mishnah. See the Marocha and the Mizrocha, they put the Marocha on the east side of the Mizbech, the Chaz Yosa, the opening of the Marocha. This is to allow the wind to come in. It was also Mizrocha on the east, because that's where the Shara Azor, where the wind used to blow through. The Rosh Gizim Apnimim are Yunogim B'Tapuach. The Rebbe Chosu Ben Agizim, there was space between the logs. Shayu Mitzis and Sa'al Yisim Misham, from there they would ignite the Mizbech, the fire. Beru Misham Atzitene Yofim L'Selam Marocha Shniyah. They had the second marocha for the keteris that was on the mizbech apnimi, and that was mikeneged keren marovis doimis that was on the western southern corner. Moshech min hakeren klap itself in 8 amos away from the north, and over there they would put enough wood to accumulate 5 saw of coals. Ba'oimid chomish sin shel gechol. They would assess what it would take to make 5 saw of coals. On Shabbos, where you also had to put on the bazichim for the lechem aponim, so you needed more wood, they would use the oimid of shmeinus in gechol. They would put on more wood, enough wood to make 8 saw of gechol. Shesham neistim bazichim levoinus shel lechem aponim. Now the Mishnah says, Eivorim abdom shel nisachlu mi be'erev, machzir neistim lemarocha. Now they took those Eivorim from the side of the Mizbeach, and they put it back onto the Mizbeach. So if you look at Rashi here, the Mefarish, Rashi says this is the wrong place. It's no sense. Because this is still before the Tomit Shel Shachar. So if you look at Rashi, he says they couldn't do this here. Rashi says, it's nichtav shaloi b'mkoyma. He says, this is written in the wrong place. Nearly, he says, la'acha shektiru evori tomit. There ain't shum dovo yochol la'haktir pa'amarach hazu koydem evori atomit. So Rashi over here, the Mefarish, says that these words of the Mishnah are not in its place. Because the Mishnah over here sounds like you put the Evorim on the side, you build a new fire, then you put it back on. So Rashi says that doesn't work, because you can't put the Evorim on. Now you have to put the Talmud first. Then you could put the Evorim on. If you look in the Rosh says over here, the Rosh on the left, the Rosh says like this, he disagrees. Disagrees with Rashi. And he says that they were allowed to do it. They were allowed to do it in this place. Machzir Naisam. The Ein Bezeh Mishim Lo Yeidov O Koidim L'Tomit Shol Shachar. The Hainu Davke says the Rosh, Bekorban Sheikor Vayim. The last Rosh in the Mishnah. So the Rosh and Rashi here disagree with each other. How to learn the Mishnah? According to the Rosh, they were allowed to take yesterday's Evorim and put it back on even before bringing the Talmud. And that's the way the Mishnah reads. Rashi says the Mishnah is Shaloi Bim Kaimai, and actually they left Evarim on the side till they were Makar of the Talmud, and after they were Makar of the Talmud, then they were able to put the Evarim on, because nothing came before the Talmud. The Rosh says no, that din is only on the Korbanos Hayoyim, only today's Korbanos can't be brought before the Talmud Shal Shacha. Mashiach in yesterday's Korbanos Zicha can. That's what the Rosh is. That's what comes out of the Rosh.
Like you said last week.
What?
Like you said last week, because it's only when the
Talmud
is supposed to be that you can put anything before it.
Right, so it seems that this is a machloikis similar to machloikis that we had. Why is there an issue to bring a carbon before the Talmud Shal Shach? Is it that the Talmud Shal Shach are, is it a din of the carbon? Each carbon is not allowed to be brought before the Talmud Shal Shach. Each carbon is not allowed to be brought. Or is it halacha that the Talmud Shal Shachar has to be first? Meaning, and as long as the Nafka Mina was the case where you can't bring a Talmud Shal Shachar, for whatever reason. We spoke about that. From the time that there was a bittul carbon Talmud, Shavasa Batamas. So we brought down a machlokes rishon, some men help. There was no issa then to bring other carbonas. Because there's no issa on each carbon to bring it separately. Now here it would almost work the opposite. He said, I don't know if this is where you were going. It's really here, it's the opposite. Because here, if you're looking out, the Talmud has to come first. Every day there's a mitzvah to put the Talmud on the Mizbech first. So you have that mitzvah again now. Put the Talmud first.
But for today.
Right?
Yes.
No, but that's what I'm trying to say. But if you learn that it's a din on every korban, so this is not today's korban, this is yesterday's korban. You know what I'm saying? If it's a din on that there's a mitzvah to bring the Talmud first, then you could say that even yesterday's Evorim, if they're off the Mizbeach now, right now they're off the Mizbeach, they're off the Marocha, you don't put them on until you put the Talmud on. The Talmud is first. If you learn it's an Isra on Korbanos to be brought prior to the day's Talmud, this is not today's Korban, this is yesterday's Korban. So it's different, meaning it's different. Then, but the emphasis is that you could learn both ways. You could learn that even if you're going to learn that there's a mitzvah Talmud should be first, you could still say Talmud only has to be first from today's Korbanos, not from yesterday's Korbanos. So I would say, I think that's why it's difficult. This Rashi is difficult on no matter how you learn, because the way we're learning last week, Nagiyat to the Halach of Shavasa Batamas, that's something else. Over here, L'chayr, I'm a man of Shukhti Shambinis. Clearly, if the Isser is that no carbon should be brought before the Talmud, no carbon is being brought before the Talmud. This is yesterday's carbon.
It's not a carbon.
No, Hakorov. You can't do Hakorov before the Talmud. It's not just a carbon. Even if you shechted a carbon before the Talmud, you can't put on the Mizbeach before the Talmud. You can't do any Hakorov. Oleho, we learn how to pasuk Oleho, V'orach Oleho. It's putting it onto the Marocha. In fact, if you shechted it before the Tumah and didn't put it on, you wouldn't even be over the Yisr. So you have to put it. So here you're clearly putting it back onto the Maruch. You're putting it back onto the Maruch. But the reason why here it's difficult is because here, L'chore, no matter how you learn, it should be mutter. It should be like the Rosh. The Rosh's statement should work no matter how you learn. If you learn that there's an Isser on each carbon to be brought before the Talmud, fine. This was brought yesterday already. This is just a continuation of yesterday's Avodah. So it should be no problem. If you learn there's a mitzvah that the Talmud should come first, L'chore, that mitzvah is the Talmud should come first from today's Korbanos. There's no mitzvah, Talmud should come first from yesterday's Korbanos. Talmud should come first from today's Korbanos. So L'chore, the Rosh is Okimta, that the Evare Talmud that were brought from the day before, there shouldn't be an Isser, should be according to all. L'chore, it should be according to all. It's very schwer to understand why the Mefarish here holds that there's a problem. So that's why I think that the proper way to learn here is that the Machloikis really is when they were Mesalik the Evorim. Why were they Mesalik the Evorim? If you learn they were Mesalik the Evorim from the Marocha was, and then we said they kept it on the Mizbeach, or at least on the Sofif. Right? So we brought down, what's the reason for that? Because otherwise it become possible in it. Right? So, if you hold that the reason why that they would be taka psulina on these Avarim, if they would put on the Sarvi psulina, so then it doesn't really make sense to say that there's an issue to put it back on. Because it never went off. The whole wonder of putting it to the side is it's a hamshoche to the avodah from yesterday. Now, Maisa, there is a Rasha. And Rasha brings down that once it's moshlo bohem or, once the fire is on it, then there's no psulina. So it could very well be that the machloikis here between the mefarish and the rosh is a different machloikis. And that is whether the evorim, when they're removed, become psulina or not. If you hold that moshlo bohem or, once the fire ignited it, there's no psulina. So now when you take it off, gamalnu, it's over. Okay, it's not a hamshoche from yesterday. It's gamalnu, it's over. Now I have evorim that they tackle from yesterday's court, but I have evorim that are off the mizbeach, and I'm making akrova chadosha. So memela, that has to be, that's Rashi. Rashi l'shitosi old mashlo b'hema'ol, even though the b'fal should love dafka Rashi. But it's Lashitas Rashi, Moshlo Bohem Or, there's no Psalina, so now it's a new Akrova. Mashenkin, those who hold that there's still a Psalina, like the Rosh, so when they put it on the side of the Mizbeach, the whole Lomdus was, it's still on the Mizbeach. So now there's no new Akrova. There's no new Akrova, so there's no problem of Dovah Koidim L'Tomid. No, so you could learn, it was practical. Practical, according to them, it's telling you what they did. A lot of what the Mishnah is telling you is practical. According to the Rambam, the whole Deshen thing was practical. The Mishnah is telling you practicalities too. Okay. Omar Rav Guzman. Rav says this whole thing is an exaggeration. It's an exaggeration. Never reached the level of Shloish Meis Kuh. Similarly, the Mishnah says later, when they gave the Talmud to drink before Shechita, it's an exaggeration. A guzman. Omarove guzman. Omaravami dibra Torah loshan avai. Dibra nevim loshan avai. Dibra racham loshan avai. This shouldn't surprise you. The Torah says exaggerations. The nevim say exaggerations. Chacham say exaggerations. And he brings examples. Torah Loshan Avai, Yom Gdol Shamayim. Says the cities were up to the skies. Fortified, they were fortified to the skies. Shamayim Salkatayt, Guzma. The Vinim Loshan Avai, the Chsivahom Machalim Bechalilim, Vatibok Arat Lokoyim. This is by Shlomo HaMelech. They were playing the flutes, and it was so, the sound was so strong and powerful that the land cracked. And the Bukhacham Loshnava, I hold on Moran. This that our Mishnah said, there were 300 core of Deshem. Tapuach. For Hadishk was atomic because of Zav. The whole Gemara is strange. What's the Gemara trying to bring out here? Dibu Loshnavai. What's the Gemara trying to say in Bukhlau? Rabbi Yankov Zatzal had an approach to say that any time you're trying to bring out a point, right, and the way to bring out the point is to exaggerate it, that's emes. In other words, that's not an issur of dvar shekhar techuk. That's not an issur of dvar shekhar. In other words, the Gemara is proving that there's no din of dvar shekhar techuk. If you're trying to bring out a point, so you're exaggerating a point to bring the point. So machlek is rishonim in the dorem by nidrei zeresin. What's nidrei zeresin? The Mishnah says there, I want to sell something, you want to buy it, you make a neder, you won't pay more than 25. I make a neder, I won't sell it for less than 100. So the Mishnah comes out, I'm not bound to my 100, and you're not bound to your 25, because we're both trying to negotiate. And so machlek is rishonim did a tight trip exactly. Is that mutter to do? It's clearly not an edda. Is it taka mutter lechatchila to do it? Rabbi Yankov is saying that's the Gemara is trying to bring a raya, that to bring out a point, exaggeration, this calls Rabbi Yankov shita, that emes is not, emes and sheker is not what's true and false, what's accurate. Emes and sheker is to bring out the truth. And in other words, if somebody, Rabbi Yankov felt, if somebody insults somebody because that's the truth, he said that's sheker. Because insulting somebody is falsehood. It's wrong. Wrong is sheker. That was Rabbi Yankov's. That's why he said Mishanin Mibnei HaSholem. The reason why he doesn't say Mishakrin Mibnei HaSholem is because Taka not sheker. It's Taka emes. Meaning, the emes is that you're not supposed to make somebody feel bad. So if you make somebody feel bad, that's sheker. That's the biggest sheker. And mainly that was his famous piece in by Beis Hamay and Beis Hillel. Keitzim Achlof Nei Akala Kal Nova Chasude Beis Hamay Yemim Kala Kemoi Shehi. Right? And Beis Hamay told Beis Hillel, what do you mean Midvar Sheker Tuchak? You have to stay away from false. So what did Beis Hillel answer Beis Hamay? The guy's going to feel bad. Odom Lekech Mekach Min Hashuk Meganeu. So one of the approaches, Yankov had two approaches in the Gemara and Ksuvos. One of his approaches was, Beis Hillel don't seem to answer the question. Beis Hamay is saying it's a lie. And Beis Hillel come with a Musa Sfar. Beis Hillel say, a guy buys something, you tell him, you make him feel bad. Beis Hamay is asking Lomdus, Midvar Sheker Tuchuk. So Yankov said, no, that's Beis Hillel's answer. That alone is Sheker. We always love this example. I always tell the Talmidim his example. Rabbi Yankov's example was, you have a Ritzach. You have Reuven running after Shimon with a machine gun. Right? He's chasing him. And Shimon finally knocks on your door. Reuven is a block down, chasing him with a machine gun. He says, please save me. You have a place for me. You tell me I have a place up in the attic. Go under the bed in this bedroom. You should be safe. A minute later, the guy with the machine gun comes to your door. He goes, there's Shimon here. So Bianca says, you have two choices. You could either say, he's not here. Or you could say, you could be honest Abe. Say, yeah, he's here. Where is he? Upstairs. Third bedroom to the left, under the bed. Goes up. So Bianca said, was that MS or was that sheker? And this is from the chief, Baal MS. He said, that's sheker. Murder is sheker. So LMI, yes, it's accurate. Accuracy and emes is much deeper than accurate. That was his idea. Emes is something more than accuracy. Accuracy could be falsehood. Could be bringing falsehood to the world. That was his say. So Lamai said, that's how he learned the sugya here. The Gemara is trying to bring, the Gemara is capturing that you're allowed to say guzman. Now the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon really is similar to Bianca, because if you look at the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Rava limited. Vama Rava, three places where there was exaggerations. So the Gaon says, what does that mean? According to Rava, they taka gave the Talmud to drink in a gold. So The Gaon says along the lines of Rabbi Yankif, that's the reason why the Magen Avraham was an exaggeration. It was exaggerated to bring out the point that even when you do the menial things in the Beis HaMikdash, you should do give a chashivus. The word gold is an exaggeration, but the concept is true. Conceptually, it's true. And that flows, because if you look weiter in the Gemara says, Tapuach od Amar. Tapuach, that's the exaggeration that it wasn't 300 kor. And Paroiche, Geffen, is that there was a Geffen, Emedes al Pesach HaHechel. There was a vine on by the Hechel, where people used to make donations. And on that vine, when they would make a donation of gold, they would hang it on that vine, this gold vine. And basically, it was mudla was spread out, on top of poles. If somebody would donate a little piece of gold, but you'd hang it on this vine. Took 300 kahanim to take it down. And this is a strange thing. The Tanan, the poroiches, the way it was made like this. Of your tefach, it was a tefach thick, and it was woven with pieces of string that were made out of 72 threads. You can imagine the thickness of it. And each thread, and each thread was made out of 24 little strings. And that's because it was they were made out of Tcheles, Argomon, Telah, Shoni, and Sheish. And each one was made out of six threads. So altogether was 24. It was made out of 6 times 4. In other words, it was 4 minim. Each thread was made out of Tcheles, Sheish, Argomon. Right? And each thread was made out of 6. So Bekitzah was 24. Bekitzah, Orko, Aboy, Mama. Verochvo, Master, Mama. Some of the Girsa 10 by 20. And how many women did it take to weave it? Mishmoyne Mushtayim Ribay Nairus. That means 820,000 girls wove it. These are Nairus, means young girls, because they didn't want, the Rishonim explained, they didn't want it to become Tomei Nida. So they used girls who are less than the age. This is Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz brings down our sugya, why the women wove Tovuah Se'izin, right? And when they made the Mishkan, it says the woman, the Chachma slave, they wove it while it was on the goats. So everybody asks, what kind of Chachma is that? The woman's a tippish. What kind of fool weaves something while it's on the animal? I mean, that's got to be crazy. And you know how to do it, fine, but you're crazy. Why would you do that? So if Anderson Ibish had said, because they didn't want it, if they become a Nida, it's Metame Lemafreya by Kotchim. So they did it while the animal was alive. It's not Makabel Tuma. And then they didn't shave it off. Somebody else shaved it off. They made the whole thing while it was on the goat. So he uses this Gemara as a Raya. Right? Ushtayim Hoyoysim, because Shon of Hashem made two of these a year. Ushloish Meyos Kohanim Magbilinois. Took 300 Kohanim to travel it. So that's a Guzman. They didn't have 300 kahanim traveling this thing. Some say they didn't have this amount of girls. They didn't have 300 kahanim. So here's where the Gaon comes in. And the Gaon says, where they come to the concept of 300 kahanim? He says, because the paroiches, it was folded over. It was all together 10 by 20. 10 by 20. 10 by 20 is 10 by 20 amis is 60 tvoch. Is 60 amas. You think it tells? Right? 60 amas, meaning there were 60 amas all around the paroiches. Right? If you measure the perimeter of paroiches, it's a total of 60 amas. Each amas shall be in his chamisha at 5 tvachim. So it's 300 tvachim. So he says, every coin wanted to have a piece. The maximum amount of kahanim that could actually grab this paroiches and immerse it was 300 kahanim. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. So the Vilna Gaon l'shitas, he says, the exaggeration was done to show you yishachap a mitzvah. In other words, each one of these exaggerations has a a cheshbon behind the exaggeration. I know, stop here. This was a break.